Like to turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Book of Galatians, chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 13 through verse 20. Galatians chapter 4. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel or messenger of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record, that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes, and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice or the tone of the message. For I stand in doubt of you. By way of background, the book of Galatians, of course, was written by Paul, I believe, sometime toward the end of his third missionary journey. We read that it was written unto the churches, plural, of Galatia, or the churches that were in the area of Galatia. We read that in chapter 1 and verse 2. Also, from looking at the three missionary journeys of Paul, we see that Paul visited these Galatian churches on all three missionary journeys. And then, of course, after he had visited with them these three times, he writes this letter to them. And by reading the book of Galatians, you see that things had greatly deteriorated in the churches of Galatia since Paul first went there. The problem was that some Jewish legalizers, those who believed salvation by works, had crept into the churches and were teaching salvation by works theology. And as a result, many of the people in these churches now considered Paul to be an enemy. And he makes reference to that in verse 16. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, when I first went to you, you would have given me your own eyes. But now I am become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And in the letter, Paul addresses the false theology that was prevalent in the churches, builds the case for salvation by grace. But the whole letter is a very solemn message. Notice in chapter 1, verses 6 through verse 9, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So I began to accept some error, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. And again, you had these Jewish legalizers that were in the churches and having a great effect upon the churches at this time. In chapter 3, he said in verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So the whole letter has a very serious tone, and so much so that Paul said in verse 20, he said, I desire to be present with you now. That is, I desire to come and see your state of affairs and change my voice. That is, hopefully be able to change the tone of the message. And then he says, for I stand in doubt of you. For I stand in doubt of you. And Paul also said in verse 17, he said, they, that is, these false teachers, they zealously affect you, but not well. They've had a great effect upon you, but not to the good. And then he says, yea, they would exclude you, that is, separate you from Christ and the truth, that ye might affect them, that is, in order that you might love them and accept them. And then Paul goes on to say here in verse 18, it is a good thing, or it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. And that is where we want to take the thought of the message this morning. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Subject of the message this morning is how are you affected? How are you affected? We see that these Galatians were more zealously affected by false teachers than they were the message of God. These Galatians were more zealously affected by the error of false teachers than they were the truth that Paul had preached to them. And now Paul is greatly concerned for them because of this effect that these false teachers are having upon you. And again, he so much so that he said, I stand in doubt of you. What people are affected by and how they are affected says much about our spiritual condition. Says much about our spiritual position. The word affect refers to a feeling or an emotion that we have as the result of something. It is how we are moved by something. It could be anything. It could be something we hear. It could be anything. Today's language, that word zealously would mean zest or pep. These false teachers gave the Galatians some zest, gave them some pep, while at the same time they found the truth to be dull. So they were zealously affected, but not well. That is, not in a good way. Now, the things of the world, the things of the flesh, had zealously affected these individuals, while the things of God seemed to have very little effect upon them. The things of the world and the things of the flesh move them to eagerness. That's what the word zealously means. The things of the world and the things of the flesh move them to have a passion and a vigor and an excitement, a zeal, a zest, a drive. And yet spiritual things were dull. Sounds very familiar. Sounds very, very familiar to what we see today. I ask you today, how are you affected? What effect do the things of the world and the things of the flesh have upon you? And in comparison, how are you affected by spiritual things? I mean, it bothers some people more that if they get a scratch in their new car than if somebody dies and goes to hell. That's the truth. They're going to get more affected by a scratch in a new car or the loss of some material thing than they do about the loss of spiritual things in their life. So how are we affected? It says much about us. And we pray that we would examine this issue. What feelings and emotions are stirred when we are presented with the truth? When we are presented with spiritual things. I want to consider several areas, and again, we want to ask you the question, what effect does this have upon you? Think about the person of God. Let's think about God. Are you zealously affected by God? I mean, when you think about God, when you hear His name, what feelings and what emotions are stirred within you when you are presented with the sovereignty of God? How does that make you feel? What emotions does that stir? When you hear about the power of God, what effect does that have upon you? When you hear about the omniscience of God, I mean, these are awesome things. Again, as we've said many times before, we've lost sight of the definition of awesome. Oh, so-and-so won their game last night. That was awesome. And oh, how we're affected by it. It affects our moods. But we're talking about the power of God. That's awesome. What is the effect of the power of God in our life? What is the effect of the omniscience of God? The grace of God. The mercy of God. The long-suffering of God. The goodness of God. Is it not strange that many times we are more zealously affected by the world than we are the one who has given us our very life and our very being? Is that not strange? To be more zealously affected by a material object than the God who gave you life and the God who holds your life in His hands? Yet many times people are more zealously affected by the things of the world. Is there not something wrong when there is a greater eagerness, a greater passion, a greater vigor, a greater excitement, a greater zest, and a greater drive for the things of the world than there are the things of God? Isn't something wrong with that picture? Yet it is so common today that many of God's people don't even see anything wrong with it. And if we even suggest that there is something wrong with it, we've become crazy. We've lost our minds. But I believe it's just the opposite. I mean, when we are more zealously affected by material things than God, you've lost your mind. Something is not right. So how do these things affect us? Is there not something tragically out of order? When the things of the world and the things of self have a greater effect upon us than our Creator. Something's out of order. Is there not something criminal in finding the world more precious and more important than Jesus Christ? Isn't there something wrong with that? Isn't there something wrong with being so affected by the world that we lose sight of Jesus Christ? See, it's possible to be zealously affected, but not well, as Paul said to the Galatians. Is there not something terribly out of order when we prefer the things of the world and the things of self above the things of God? I ask you today, are you zealously affected by Jesus Christ? Is there not something wrong when we are more zealously affected by the ways of the world than we are the ways of God? When we're more zealously affected by the philosophies and the pleasures of the world than we are by the guidance and direction of Almighty God? How are we affected today? Think about the Word of God. What effect? What effect does the Word of God have upon your life? What effect does it have upon your thinking? What effect does it have upon your reasoning, your perception? This book that we hold today is the very Word of God. Do you believe that? There are a lot of people that say they do, but I don't believe they really do. Do you really believe that this is the very Word of God? Oh, yes, I believe that. Then may I ask you why you get more excited when you receive a letter from a person than you do what's written in this book? Why does getting a card from somebody or a letter more zealously affect you than this book? Isn't something wrong with that? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? How are we affected by the Word of God? This is a book written by someone who cannot lie. It is not possible for God to lie. It is written by the very Creator of everything. And it is a book that reveals God. Isn't there something wrong when we find it difficult to find the time to read a book written by God? Something wrong. Isn't there something wrong when we find it difficult to read a book that reveals God, that tells us what God thinks, that tells us how God sees things? Isn't it strange that we can read this book and it doesn't have any effect at all? We ought to be zealously affected. How is it that folks can be more zealously affected by a TV show? I mean, they can sit and weep watching a television show, and they can read the Word of God and not be moved at all. Well, we would have to join with Paul. I stand in doubt. I mean, you can't help it. How are we affected by the Word of God? This is a book that shows us the way to God. People say, oh, I read such and such a book. I never learned so much in my life. How sad. How sad. This is a book that we ought to learn the most from. Or I read such and such a book, and no book has ever helped me more than that book. Oh, how sad. Do you realize what you've said? And I'm not saying that books written by man can't help us. That's not what I'm saying. But when you make a foolish statement by saying, no book has ever helped me more than that book, then you know what that tells me? You haven't spent very much time in this one. You're not zealously affected by the Word of God. Here is a treasure worth more than all the silver and gold in the world. A book that can bring relief to aching hearts like none other. If someone's heart is breaking and I'm going to recommend them a book, I'm going to recommend them the Word of God first and foremost. Because no book will heal aching hearts like the Word of God. None. And we ought to be zealously affected. It is a book that gives joy, a book that gives peace. What effect does the Word of God have upon you? Again, isn't that strange that we would be more zealously affected by the writings and the philosophies of man and more zealously affected by the opinions of Hollywood than the Word of God? Something's wrong. Something's terribly out of order. The Word of God is an unfailing resource of God's people. It is a solid rock in the midst of sinking sand and shifting sand. It is the very seed which the Holy Spirit uses to impart spiritual life to dead sinners. The very seed that the Spirit of God uses to revive the hearts of His people. And we ought to be greatly affected by the Word of God. When this book is read in your hearing, what effect does it have upon you? When we stand up here on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings and you hear the Word of God read, what effect does it have upon you? It ought to do something to us. It ought to stir some emotions, and it does. In some people it stirs anger. But for you and I, it ought to stir joy. It ought to stir thanksgiving. You know, I can go into the hospital, stand by someone's bed, and read them the writings of Karl Marx, and it will not upset most people as much as to read them the Word of God. It's sad. What effect does the Word of God have upon us when we hear it read? When we hear the Word of God preached, are we zealously affected by the Word of God? Or are we writing letters to the person next to us, telling jokes, goofing around? What effect does the Word of God have upon us? As soon as the book is open, people ought to be silent. And people ought to be giving their full attention. God is about to say something. It ought to zealously affect us. Paul says it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing. Are you zealously affected by the Word of God? Think about the worship of God. What effect does it have upon you to be able to come to the house of God and worship Him? That ought to do something to us. What effect does the thought of Sunday have upon you? I believe we ought to start thinking about Sunday, Wednesday evening. Our thought ought to be, I can't wait till Sunday. And as we get closer and closer, the anticipation ought to be building. It does when you go on a vacation. It does when you do some worldly thing. As it gets closer, you get more and more excited. Isn't there something wrong? Isn't there something wrong when we can be zealously affected by worldly plans and it can stir up eagerness in us and passion and excitement and joy? And yet Sunday is coming and many aren't affected at all. It ought to zealously affect us. Sunday is the day in which we commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the day in which Jesus Christ came victoriously out of the tomb. And it is a day that ought to excite our souls. It is a day that ought to thrill us. It's a day that ought to make us eager. I've got to get to the house of God. Today's Sunday. It's a day that ought to fill us with passion and excitement and zest and drive to be in the Lord's house. To come and to worship God. As the psalmist said in Psalm 84 and 10, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The house of God ought to do something to us. It ought to stir the desire to worship. Is there not something terribly out of order when we choose to do something rather than be in God's house? Isn't there something wrong when there's more excitement for the things of the world and the things of self than there is worshiping God? You know, there are people who say, I just can't sleep the night before a trip. I just get so excited. What about Saturday nights? Have any trouble sleeping, thinking about the house of God? Oh, no, it don't bother me at all. We ought to be zealously affected by the privilege we have to worship God. And as we get in our cars on Sunday mornings and we begin to head toward the house of God, it ought to begin to affect us. When we pull into the parking lot, it ought to begin to affect us. And if you're going to an amusement park, as soon as you get to the parking lot, it begins to affect you. You get excited. It ought to be more so in the house of God. Then when you get out of the car and you begin to walk to the door, again, it ought to affect you. It ought to do something. And then when you walk into the house of God, it ought to zealously affect you. And then as you take your place in your pew, and we all have our pews, you take your place in your pew, well, it ought to do something. I've been able to sit in this pew for X amount of years. Praise God! It ought to have an effect upon us. And then when Brother Larry gets up and begins to lead the singing, that ought to do something. That ought to have an effect upon you. And then when it's time for God's word to be declared, that ought to cause you to be zealously affected. I submit to you, if that's not the case, something's wrong. Something's terribly out of order in your life. Then think, lastly, of your salvation. When you think of the fact that the Lord saved your soul, what effect does that have upon you? You know, you talk to people and they say, well, I know I'm saved. And then they'll follow up by saying, I'm just backslidden. And they say that with, as if to say it's hot outside. There's no emotion whatsoever. But it looks to me that if you're a child of God and you're backslidden, you can hardly get those words out. It ought to just break your heart. We ought to be zealously affected by it. But the same people, if they're told they're going to lose their job, their world has just fallen apart. But they can say, well, I'm just backslidden. How are we affected? How are we affected by things? The fact that God purposed and planned our salvation, how does that affect you? The fact that He wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, how does that affect you? What effect does it have upon you to think that my name is written down in the book of life? When you think of Christ wounded, you think of Christ bruised for you. What effect does that have upon you? When you think of Him despised and rejected for you, what effect does that have upon you? When you think of your depravity and what you deserve as a sinner before God, and how that the Lord Jesus Christ left the royalties of heaven to come down where you were and save your soul, doesn't that do something? Doesn't that move and stir some emotions in your heart? I mean, think about the degradation. Think about the condemnation and the eternity that the Lord has rescued you and I from. And that ought to zealously affect us. It ought to do something to us to think that I, an enemy of God, and would have forever remained an enemy of God, and would have gone out into eternity as an enemy of God, but I've been reconciled. I've been reconciled to God. I've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. My sins have been forgiven. And now I am kept by the power of God. Does that not zealously affect us? It ought to. That ought to have more of an effect upon us than anything else. Than anything else. It ought to disappoint you more. It ought to bother you more. If your children are living out in sin and out of the will of God, more than if they bring a bad grade home, or whatever the case might be. It ought to affect you more to think that they are spiritually bankrupt than they are materially bankrupt. It ought to bother you more. We have God as our strength. That ought to zealously affect us. I have God as my helper. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That ought to zealously affect us. That ought to stir something within us. He's coming again for me. That ought to zealously affect us. How do those things affect us? To think that God saved our souls. I don't believe someone who is zealously affected by God, by the Word of God, by the things of God, by the fact that they're saved, you're never going to have to plead with them to serve the Lord and do what's right. They're going to do it. Because that's just the effect that it has. How can you not want to serve Him today? How could you rather serve the world than God? How can you not want to submit to God? I mean, is God going to hurt you by submitting to Him? Is He going to ruin your life by submitting to God? Is He going to deprive you of something? It's going to deprive you if you submit to the world. It'll ruin your life. We ought to be zealously affected where I want to submit to Him. I want to worship Him. I want to draw near to Him. I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him. We ought to be zealously affected by the things of God. In closing, we need to honestly examine the effect of spiritual and carnal things upon our lives. Which has a greater effect upon our lives? Which creates the most eagerness in our lives? Which stirs the most passion in our lives? What creates the greatest excitement, the greatest anticipation? Spiritual things or carnal things? Do we get more excited about spiritual opportunities or carnal opportunities? Well, Brother Dan, you need to understand, I've got this opportunity. I can't pass this down. I can't turn this down. This is the greatest opportunity I've ever had. No, it isn't. You have the opportunity to come into the presence of Almighty God. Don't turn that opportunity down. To worship Him. To serve Him. Don't do anything that would take away from that. We get pretty confused in our thinking what an opportunity is. Do we grieve more for spiritual failure then we do worldly failures? We ought to grieve our hearts when we fail spiritually. Do we grieve more for spiritual losses than we do material losses? And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with grieving over loss. But we should never grieve over the material more than the spiritual. Never. Over the loss of such. Are we zealously affected? The truth is we are. One way or the other. The Galatians at this time were being zealously affected by false teachers, by erroneous teaching. So much so that Paul was becoming an enemy to them. It's a good sign, not in a good way, but it's a sign when the people of God, you begin to look at them as your enemy and the people of the world as your friends, something's wrong. You're being zealously affected in a wrong way. And that's what was happening to the Galatians. Or are we zealously affected? Paul said it's always good to be zealously affected. A good thing. I pray that we would never, ever, when the Word of God is read, that it would do something to us, that we would never lose that. That when we hear it read, when I hear the Star Spangled Banner, it does something to me. Every single time. And I'm not ashamed of that. When I hear the Word of God read, it does something to me also. And I'm not ashamed of that either. I enjoy listening to the Word of God read. So how are we affected today? What is it that stirs the most passion and the most zeal within our hearts today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse song. Let's all stand.